More and more Canadians will retire with multiple retirement income sources. Paltry though they may be, they'll be from a number of different sources. They may have a government pension. Maybe they've got a company pension of some sort. Maybe they've got an RSP, some non-registered investments, maybe some cash in a TFSA or something. Jim Yee is a retirement expert, the founder of Retire Happy. He joins us today to talk about some of the common investment mistakes made by retirees when managing these different assets and how to avoid those mistakes. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
So much fodder here. Mistake number one that you talk about is planning to live off dividends. Now, as an idea, that's not a bad idea. What is the mistake in your view?
Well, I think the mistake is it's maybe not a mistake, but a challenge. The challenge that we see is everyone that retires, it's so much easier to live off a paycheck than it is to live off an asset. And that's because it's easy to spend a paycheck because you know the next one's always coming.
Right.
And that's not always easy to replicate in retirement. So when you save a bunch of RSPs and you have an asset, everyone seems to want to preserve the capital and just spend the interest or the dividends or the growth. They want to preserve that capital. And so dividend investing is very popular today. I'm a big fan of it, actually, but data shows that dividend rates are coming down a little bit, and that, you know, the thing people need to be aware of is, why do you just want to live off the dividends? What are you preserving the capital for? Is it really to give your kids more money or your leave a bigger estate? Or is it really because it's a psychological problem? It's hard to see your capital deplete down, which is understandable. But, you know, the purpose of saving the money was to spend it. So it's a bit of a psychological mistake as opposed to a mathematical mistake.
Right, right. Investing for income is another one on your list. How come?
Well, the idea of investing for income is obviously what you want to do. But the problem with the dividend structure today is in Canada, we're highly concentrated. All of the dividend stocks are concentrated into a couple of sectors, the energy sector, the financial sector. And so if you just focus on your dividends and that's your whole portfolio, you're going to be highly concentrated. And, you know, we've all heard the story of you should diversify a little bit. There would be very little diversification strategy with just the dividend,
right?
Just investing for dividend income.
People make mistakes on asset allocation. This can be really relevant for retirees, given that their income is largely fixed or to some extent fixed. How would you characterize this particular mistake?
Okay, so let's say somebody has an RSP, a TFSA, and a non-registered account. Quite often what we see is people run their asset allocation models consistently through the different accounts. So, for example, they might have one-third stocks, one-third bonds, one-third cash in the RSP, the same in the TFSA, and then the same in the non-registered. And we feel it's important not to treat your accounts as sort of homogeneous accounts. It may be better off to hold some of your safer, more secure investments inside the RSP for tax purposes, but also because you don't want your RSPs to grow really big. If you think about where would you prefer to have your growth, you'd probably prefer to have it in a TFSA because all of that growth is tax-free.
Right.
So then your TFSA should probably be allocated with more of a growth slant. And then maybe the non-registered account, that's where some of the dividends, because dividend income is tax preferred. So be careful not to just treat all accounts the same.
Right. You need an asset allocation strategy, and then where those assets are housed is quite relevant.
Absolutely. And then we also see people who have an RSP with one financial advisor, the TFSA they're doing on their own, and then the non-registered is with
their Uncle Vinny.
Yeah, there you go. And so then there's no coordination of asset allocation. We see that happen quite often.
Not deferring pensions is on your list. This is a contentious one. I had Fred Vitesse on talking about delaying CPP. And while the math makes sense, it it's a hard call for people to hold off until 70.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've spent a lot of time. Probably the number one debate for us, you know, on Retire Happy, the biggest traffic we get is this issue of when to start taking a pension, whether it's CPP or whether it's a defined benefit pension plan. And you're absolutely right. With every decision, there's a logical, mathematical component, and then there's a psychological, emotional component. And the math is debatable. A lot of people have accused me of being pro take CPP early, which I'm not. The math simply is the math, and many people do choose to take it early. But quite frankly, I could care less when you choose to take CPP because it's your money, not
right.
But most people, you know, there's a mathematical break-even point. There's a calculation you can do. And most people just choose to want it early. That's not to say that that's right or wrong. It's just everyone should make that decision on their own. So we do see a bias out there. Most people want to take it early. And all we're saying here is be careful, because that's not just because my brother did it and my coworkers did it and everyone else I know took it early does not mean that you should too.
Right.
So that's all we're sort of saying is do some math, yes, but just do what's right for your situation. You know, retirement planning is not a cookie cutter approach.
You also have one here around deferring tax. Is this the idea that sometimes people who have accumulated a lifetime of savings in an RRSP are reticent to spend it down at all because they know they're going to trigger tax?
Yeah. I call it grumpy retiree syndrome. There's a lot of retirees that are grumpy about
their I don't know why I saved in my RRSP. Now I'm paying tax. Well, yeah, it's kind of designed that way. It's tax deferral.
That's right. So we advise that as you get closer and closer to retirement, as soon as you retire, you should develop an RRSP withdrawal strategy. And that withdrawal strategy may be, in fact, to defer it. But it also may be, in fact, to start withdrawing it earlier, even if you don't need the income. It might be wise from purely a tax strategy.
What are the ways in which someone can reduce the touch on the decumulation phase? There's been so much work on, you know, the robos, making savings easy, automate, hooray for everything. Is there a similar approach on the decumulation phase to make that easy?
No. And I think that's the challenge is that we have an industry that really, really understands accumulation, growth strategies, dollar cost averaging. But I think our industry is not always the best at understanding that there's a huge difference between decumulation strategies and accumulation strategies. I think it's getting better, Bruce, but I think it's because the boomers are driving this need. And I think that would be a mistake for people to try and take a cookie cutter approach.
Yeah.
So much of my time today is spent sitting down with people on that decumulation stage. And what we find is that it is not a cookie cutter approach.
You know, it's interesting as we talk, it becomes clear that we really need to tilt towards that phase of life, not just because there are more and more retirees than ever before, but because the stakes are really high. The stakes are pretty low. If you've got 20 grand and you're at a branch of a bank and you're invested in a mutual fund, just keep doing that for a while until you've got enough and can lower your cost base. But if you're in retirement, you could have 500 grand, you could have $1 million in assets and some serious tax implications if you don't optimize that withdrawal.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing, Bruce, that I've learned over the years is, you know, I'm a math guy, I'm a number cruncher, I enjoy numbers. But I got to tell you, the biggest thing that I've learned over the years is that when it comes to retirement, money, investing, psychology is way more powerful than logic. And so we try and explain models away with math and spreadsheets and things like that. But at the end of the day, I think there is a huge component. There's some gut, there's emotion, and you got to respect that. You got to sometimes forget the math and just do what you think and feel is right for your life, right for, you know, the goal is to make retirement the best years of your life. That should always be the goal.
Yeah.
And sometimes we math can't explain that. And so, so important.
God, that was so touchy-feely of you, Jim. For a math guy, I feel good. I feel grateful. I feel inspired. I'm like tapping my heart in acknowledgement of your amazingness. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Bruce. Always so much fun to talk to you.
Jim Yee, retirement expert, founder of Retire Happy. We were talking about some of the most common mistakes made by retirees. And unfortunately, the list is pretty long.